When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
At Humana, our Medicare Advantage plans give you coverage and care you can count on, along with guided support to help you feel your best. You could have a plan with a $0 premium or an all-in-one plan that may include medical and prescription coverage, as well as routine dental, vision, and hearing. Learn more at GetHumana.com. Humana, a more human way to healthcare. Humana is a Medicare Advantage HMO and PPO organization with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in any Humana plan depends on contract renewal.
Blue Kool-Aid Drinkers! We are back, baby. We are back. And we are recording this on October 16th, 8:30 Central at night. And we got a hell of an episode ahead of us here. We are previewing this mega matchup, the Lions, traveling to Minnesota, a noon Central, 1 o'clock Eastern kickoff in Minnesota. And it's going to be just a doozy of a game. The Lions are actually going in as underdogs this week. So we'll be talking all about this game. And we, of course, will, as I mentioned earlier this week, we'll be bringing back our Entering the Lions Den. But before we get into all that, let's introduce the Blue Kool-Aid crew that is here at the moment. So I'm Big Z, and then there's UJ.
Greetings and salutations.
And then I believe Rud Dog will be joining us at any moment here. But as I mentioned, the Lions are sitting at 4-1. The Vikings have started the season, shockingly, 5-0, and doing it in pretty good fashion as well, blowing out the Giants, the Texans. They were up 28-0 on the Packers. They're up high, big on the Jets, and they beat the 49ers as well. So they've done pretty good for themselves to start this season. But they haven't faced a division yet, and they also haven't played the Lions yet. And, we're going to get into all of that here with our guest, Jason Hall. So this, of course, is our segment, Entering the Lions Den, where we have a fan from the opposing team come on the podcast at his own will. We'll not be looking out for your safety at all, Jason, in the next 10, 15 minutes or so.
I'm pretty worried.
But we want to welcome you and appreciate you joining the Lions Den.
Oh, you bet. Thanks, guys.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for coming on, Jason. Yeah. You're a brave soul.
And, of course, Jason, I must be remiss to not point out the connection here. So my brother, my younger brother, his fiance, you are his future father-in-law. So that is the connection here. Correct. And I must start with this question, Jason, for you. So you mentioned to us right before here that you've held season tickets for 24 years with the Vikings. And I just got to ask, there had to be a better use of your money over the last 24 years than spending it watching the Vikings, right?
Wow. Yeah, to a point, you're right. To a point, you're 100% right. Like, what's the saying? Is they play well enough to where I feel I'm ready to get hurt again. So that's kind of the thing. So like, we kind of know how the movie's going to end. We just try to figure out, like, how different are they going to make the pain feel this time?
But why are you a Vikings fan? Why are you a Vikings fan?
Yeah, just grew up that way. All my dad was a huge sports fan, and so all the Minnesota teams are kind of who we follow growing up. So Vikings, Twins, Timberwolves came into town when I was 13, I suppose. So I'm not a huge hockey fan, but a little bit. So I followed the North Stars back before they moved, and the Wild since they've come on. But for me, football, baseball are the main two. Basketball, hockey are kind of I still follow them, but maybe not quite as religiously as the other two. And yeah, so I can, my first, probably real cognizant football memory is the Vikings 87 strike year. Vikings good team. Oh. Terrible strike team. They lost all three games. They were brutal. They kind of choked coming down the stretch, backed into the playoffs, but then got hot, beat New Orleans, beat a great Niners team, and then lost on a typical heartbreaker in the NFC title game. That's my first memory. I was probably 10 at that point and been hooked on how I can get hurt from there.
Is there one where Gary Anderson, did he miss a field goal?
No, that was 98. 87 would have been Darren Nelson dropping a touchdown in the final seconds against the Redskins. That would have tied it.
So. Oh, boy. Well, we share a lot of heartache with you.
Are you guys still living down the embarrassment of Jim Marshall running the wrong
way? A little bit. So a little before my time, but I definitely learned of it from my dad. Yeah, that was always
really
like those,
embarrassing.
When you start watching those, the bloopers hits or whatever, we're out in the 80s and 90s. That always led the way. It led the way.
Well, before we get into the actual game of it all, I know, UJ, you have a question for Jason here, too.
I do. It's an important question about life going forward. How are you going to live with your friends and your cohorts that your son is going to be your son-in-law is going to be a Lions fan? How are you going to deal with that?
It could be worse. Could be a Packer fan. That would be trouble. That would be real big trouble.
Wow, you actually have a good point.
Yeah, we agree there.
That would be a problem. But I guess it's fun. It was kind of cool. Last year, he joined myself and my brother and another family member to go watch. And I will say that was a pretty cool deal to be able to see your guys as fans that showed up at that place and were there afterwards and kind of greeting the team after. And I had some hope still at that point, although watching Nick Mullins play quarterback kind of zapped the hope pretty fast. Like it was pretty hard to see an ending that was different than what happened. But, yeah, it was that was a pretty cool deal for you guys and for all those fans that were there to be able to witness those.
Yeah, because that was when they clinched the NFC North.
Yep.
Since the NFC North had been established.
Exactly, so. Right? Exactly.
Yeah, really, really cool.
Yep, I bet.
Do we have Rud Dog now? I see he's joined. There.
Can you hear me?
Yes, Rud Dog, we can hear you.
Oh, thank God.
So, Rud Dog, we have Jason here. Do you have a question for him? About this matchup with the Lions and Vikings.
Is it hard to cope with the fact that you're going to lose even though we have Aiden Hutchinson out this weekend?
Is it hard to know? Well, no, I don't think so, because if I was betting, I think I would actually pick you to win, to be honest. So,
oh no.
I think I would. Like this is kind of weird, like going into the whole enemy territory back and forth thing. I got to say, I think you guys are like the best team in the NFL. So it's a little hard to talk a lot of crap when I kind of think that you guys are like,
you have me suspicious now, Jason.
Yeah. I'll be honest. I am way
more killing me with kindness or something.
I'm way more interested and confident that this will be a game today than I was a month ago. A month ago, this would have been one of those like, man, how bad is this going to be? This is going to be a kicking. And, so we'll see.
Just trying to butter us up.
I have a ton of
butter.
I have a ton of faith that defensively, I think they're well set to hang on. I don't think I'm going to be able to fully buy into Sam Darnold for a long time. It's gonna take a few more weeks before I can truly get on that train that we're
a little more.
Do you think he's coming back down to earth the last couple games compared to how he started the season? He's thrown a little more interceptions, a little more turnover prone, which is kind of what his MO was.
My worry is it's going to be a roller coaster. I remember reading or hearing somebody talk about something at the start of the year that when he tends to have a bad game, it turns into a bad month, right? It's like 3-4 games in a row. So that's kind of where I'm at now. I'm really interested to see if they can they protect him kind of a little bit enough to kind of lessen it and kind of come back around a little faster. I think your offense is going to be damn near impossible to stop. I don't think your defense is as good as the Jets, so I'm hoping that maybe some of what happened to him in London was the Jets, but I guess we'll find out. I'm not super confident that he's I think he's going to have games like what happened in the Jets probably 2-3-4 more times. I just hope they're spread out and they're just kind of one-off disappointments and it doesn't turn into a, oh crap, we're dead for 5 games or something, you know?
Well, yeah, you're pretty good shape so far.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't think anybody who says they saw this coming lying, man. Like I was way.
You're right.
I was above the 6.5 over underline. Like I got a couple tickets on that. That I was pretty confident that they could get to. I was thinking 8 or 9. So but I don't think anybody saw the way this started off.
Right, and historically, starting off this good means you're like 80+% going to make the playoffs, probability wise.
But you hit 8 or 9 now, you'll be very disappointed.
It's happened before, man. It happened 2013. Was it 2016? 5-0, and then.
Yeah, those early season records can be very deceptive.
Sometimes. I mean, one of my early memories of the Lions was them starting out 6-2 with John Kitna at quarterback,
and then
they finished the season 7-9 and missed the playoffs.
The one more game would have got UJ a win on like a big bet that year.
I had a bet. I thought it was 7-1, Z.
Was it 7-1? That's even worse.
Because I had a bet for $100 with a guy that they'd win 8 games, and they were 7-1. And they didn't win an 8th. They lost out. I lost $100. I thought it was a sure thing as there ever was.
No, I think it was 6-2, and they only won one more game the rest of the season.
Either way.
Wow. Brutal.
Yeah.
But I want to get into this matchup just a little more. So you mentioned Lions offense, but the strength of this Minnesota team arguably is their defense. What are they doing defensively this year to throw teams off? Is it just scheme? I know Van Ginkel has been a really good player for them. Like a couple pick sixes this year, right? They get him in free agency. Kennard as well. Just speak a little bit to that, and what do you think this team's going to do against the Lions this week?
Yeah, so the biggest challenge that I think the Vikings have, this will be the best run offense they faced by far. Niners were good. Niners are a good run offense, but they were very fortunate to get up 14 pretty quick. And even though San Fran stuck with it, and they ran it 4.5-5 yards a pop or whatever it was, so they were able to run, but I don't think they can run like your guys is the Detroit O-line. The Detroit running game is, it's freaking full-on legit. So I think if they can slow, I don't think they're going to stop it. If they can slow it down a little bit to where they don't have to commit so many people and give up all the shots, I think they got a shot. I think they're okay. They've every single free agent they added this year panned out. Every single one of them, like whether the big money guys, the 1 year guys for just like, stopgap kind of stuff. And adding Gilmore late was like, that was kind of the moment where, like, for me, I was not going into the year saying this is a win now year. For me, I was thinking, hey, I really like the way this team's built, and I'm looking 25, 26, 27. And when they went and paid the money to sign him and bring him in, it's like, okay, well, maybe they think they're a little better than I do. And He's been great. I don't know if he's going to be great 17 games from now, but so far he's been really good.
So is this defense like just unchallenged really this far, or do you think they're legit?
I think they're legit. I think that part I feel pretty confident. They've played Green Bay, Houston, San Fran, all pretty good offenses and held in. What's up?
Have they been in a deficit yet though? So that's what I was going to ask. Like, they've been getting a huge advantage on lightning scoring, right? Like that, they've been protecting leads.
Yep.
So
correct.
Hopefully,
if they got to play from behind, that'll be the first thing. And I think that's where Darnold could really be a problem. Is you get up 10 and you put a little heat on him, and he's going to make some plays, and then it's going to snowball and it's going to turn into a mess. So,
and how is Kevin O'Connell and or how have the Vikings been with under Kevin O'Connell off the bye week? Have they historically been pretty good?
So we're on year 3. So last year, trying to remember, I can't place the bye very well. The first year they won off the bye, I'm pretty positive, because I remember that they didn't take the bye right off the London game. They pushed it back a few. I'm pretty sure they won after that. I can't remember when they had it last year. I'd have to look up, and I can't remember. Biggest difference from the last to this group to the last couple of years is like last year Flores. Oh, go ahead.
They're 2-0 coming out of the bye week under Kevin O'Connell.
Yep. So pretty good. I think he's a good coach. That's probably the biggest reason for optimism long term was.
That's one thing I agree with. I like him as a coach. I really do.
Yeah, I mean, the only evidence you need is they won a game with Josh Dobbs, a quarterback who had been on the roster for 3 days, which is one of the more insane things you'll see. And they scored like 20-plus points. It wasn't like a 7-3 game or something like that, super low scoring.
Yep, exactly. He can get a little pass happy, which can sometimes be a problem. Like, that's kind of what's led the last 2 weeks to not being able to put stuff away, where, like, sometimes, man, it's okay to throw a couple checkdowns and run a couple times and run some clock and make that offense go the length of the field. And then Darnold throws a bad pick, and all of a sudden the Jets game's a game again.
Right, exactly. I think this Vikings defense, they're known for like stacking guys in line, seven guys drop. You don't know where they're sending three rushers, but it could be all three guys on the left side, all three guys on the right side, two up the middle, one off the edge, etc. I think they're going to look at some of the tape that the Cardinals did. They did something similar and drop guys into zone coverage and try to rob over the middle is my guess of how he's going to approach this. I think the Lions are going to be ready for that, though. I think they have some tricks up their sleeve ready for that. And I think a big difference maker in this game is going to be J-Mo. I don't know what you think about J-Mo, if you've watched him yet this year, Jason.
Yep.
But
yep.
I think he's the X factor in this game.
Okay. That's, and it'll be interesting because that's the one thing they've done really well is not giving up stuff over the top. They've given up a handful of big chunk plays that are in that 20, 30 yard range, but they've been, and I think that's where your guys' running game kind of presents the biggest problem with allowing that to happen. Is if we gotta start focusing on all those guys on the run, then I could see the same thing. So that's interesting.
Though, bringing them safety that'd be down. Cool.
So, Rod Dog, I think you have another question to ask Jason here as well before we shortly wrap up the segment.
Yeah. All right, Jason. On a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being that you find out that your future son-in-law really is a wimp, though we'd all know he's not. He's a really great guy. But you find out he's really a wimp right before the wedding. It's too late. Or 10 being that the Vikings never win a game. How scared are you of the Lions this weekend?
Oh, so 10 is the most? Is that what we're saying? 10's like...
It gets, depends on how you look at the scale. He says,
yeah. You have the scale, so that we just need to figure out where you're... Yeah. You know, you just, how scared are you, you know?
I don't know if scared is the right word. So I'll play in the middle. I'm like, if this was a have to have it, must got to win to get into a playoff thing, I would be pretty damn scared. Like I don't think I expect the Vikings to win, but
so you got a number?
Let's say if 10's on the higher end, we'll give it a 6. We'll give it a 6.
Oh, that's wow. I mean, that's.
You can tell us where that's
appropriately
falls,
scared. Appropriately scared is where that lies. Appropriately scared.
Sounds good.
Okay, Jason, so before we wrap up a second, I have to ask you two questions, I guess. First is, who do you think will be the X factor in this game for the Vikings? Just give me one player. And then second, what is your prediction for the outcome of this game? A game where you said you're betting on the Lions.
Yeah, so... If I X factor, I would say, I think it's Jordan Addison. I think it's the two receiver. Cause I think, almost every team spent a bunch of attention going towards JJ. I'd like to say it's going to be a running back, but that's one of my bigger fears this week is that I don't think Jones is going to play.
Yeah. It's not looking great.
I don't think he's going to play. And I don't think they fully trust Chandler, who's a really good kind of situational kind of a running back, but
They did just sign Akers.
They did. I think that's what they signed him for, was to be your pass blocker, your short yardage guy, those kind of things. So hopefully the two of them will be able to do it. But yeah, I think Addison has a pretty good week because I do think he's really good, and I think he's going to benefit from a little less attention than the other two. If I picked a score, I'm gonna say 31-27 Lions.
Oh, there you go. We like it. Wow. We like it.
This guy's got some sense.
I'm not excited about it. I'm not.
I think he just wanted to escape out of the den with his life intact.
Wise man, Jason. Wise man.
So, like, this has to be crazy different to like have that question than, you know, a handful of years ago. Like, I bet at that point I'd be saying I'm a lot more confident. But like these last couple of years, you guys are loaded, man. You're loaded up for a few years here.
Yeah, we're pumped. We're pumped. Yeah. We just signed a Lee McNeil to a long-term contract this week.
I saw that,
They are rewarding the guys who play well that they've drafted.
It's all about those windows, right? And Detroit's got a wide-open window for a couple of years. Like, man, go get another pass rusher. Even with what happened to Hutchinson, I can't imagine they won't. I imagine they're going to get somebody in a couple of weeks here.
Yeah, it'll be really interesting to see what happens on that end. And we'll be bringing that up later in this episode. But Jason, we want to thank you for coming on Jason. Entering the Lions Den. It looks like you're just going to barely escape with your life. It looks like that
brave soul. Well,
appreciate you guys.
And we'll see you in late December at the wedding.
All right. Thanks, guys. Yeah.
Thanks, Jason. Yeah. Thank you, Jason.
All right. So thank you, Jason, for entering the Lions Den. We greatly appreciate it. And gentlemen, he he thinks the Lions are going to win this game. How about that? All right. You know, I think we've only had a couple.
It felt
guests.
Like he was trying to save his skin, but you know.
I think it's only the second time, second or third time. So he's making history by predicting the Lions' victory.
It happens more and more. It's very it is happening discombobulating. More it's like, what? Like how? You know, like when we want to go to devour that flesh, but then it's like, oh, I'm on your side. You're like, what am I supposed to do now?
I know.
So getting just in more into the what is going on this week. So Lions don't have a ton on the injury report. Ragnow, Zeitler. They just missed practice day, but that was just a rest day. Carlton Davis is probably the biggest questionable one. He's
no concussion.
No concussion. I didn't think he had a concussion. He just took a spike to the head.
Kicked in the face. That had to hurt like hell. But he'd probably rather have the concussion.
He's on the injury report for a quad injury, but I think he will be fine. There's a small chance he doesn't play, but it sounds like he's going to be gone. I mean, that's really it. Even Christian Mahogany is fully practicing. They have 12 more days left of his evaluation window, so it'll be interesting to see what happens there. Now, the Vikings injuries.
Can he play the end?
No.
He's quick. He's got quick feet. I've, you know.
he can do a keg stand celebration in the end zone, if you recall.
Yeah, that doesn't quite replace Hutch, though.
Yeah, not quite.
Dang.
But Aaron Jones, as Jason mentioned, no practice for him. That's even coming off the bye week. He has a hamstring injury. It doesn't sound like he's going to play, especially with the trade they made for Cam Akers earlier this week. Harrison Phillips, he's hurt. Blake Cashman. Hawk is limited, but he's not going to be playing in this game.
I don't think so.
No.
It seems very unlikely. But he's coming back soon. You know, it's hard not to kind of root for him even when he's on the Vikings. But
I mean, I just was hoping we could get to beat him, but it's okay.
Yeah, I mean, we were the ones that injured him, right? It wasn't a Kirby.
Oh God, it was Kirby? Yeah, he's still coming back from that.
Yeah, it was toward the end of last year.
I almost feel bad.
Yeah,
good job, Kirby. You knocked him out for the next game too.
Yeah, it would have been a revenge game, if anything. But nonetheless, so that's the injury report. It's not terrible for either team. There's no one like a Justin Jefferson. I mean, obviously, Hutch is out.
I was
going to
say, wait, what?
Hutch, I mean, that does include like the players that were missing for like the year, like Derek Barnes, Hutch.
Well, Hutch is coming back for the Super Bowl, so that's all right. But
that would be insane. That would be insane if he does. But if anybody does it, he can.
I just believe.
Before we get into the game, there was like a report that the Lions are, you know, doing their research on Hassan Reddick for a trade standpoint. Now, my guess, and UJ were talking on before we started the podcast, is that I think if the Lions do take him on, he's not filling that Hutch role necessarily. He's probably filling more of the Derek Barnes role, if anything.
You couldn't fill one of Hutch's shoes. I mean, come on.
Well, I meant like just like the every down wide nine D end, the right side D end. He's more of like Derek Barnes rushing off the edge type, like linebacker breed ish. Anyways,
what Nowaski was doing.
But he is looking for a long term deal. If it is not out there, I think there is a very reasonable chance that the Lions could go after him on a one-year deal to fit him under the cap. Now, the other part of it, too, is I think
like
what the Lions are actually doing the research on is his personality. This is a guy that got traded to the Jets. Yeah. With the Jets assuming that he'd be signing his contract, he holds out. He hasn't played yet this year. I think the Lions are more interested. Is he going to be a cancer to the locker room? Is he going to ruin the vibes of this locker room? Because the talent is obviously there, but you know the Lions are very specific about their culture. I think it's more... I think the research is as much as about like whether the money matches up as much as it is it a cultural fit with the Lions? And my understanding is that it probably isn't based on what you've heard of him on from other teams. So I would put the likelihood of the Lions signing him at, if I had to throw a number out there, 15%. That'd be my guess. I think
the correct answer.
I think they're more likely going to go get a cheap contract like from the Browns or Preston Smith or something like that, who's like $1 million, $1.5 million, a veteran, someone that you can rely on the outside there. Because, I mean, maybe Okwu or one of the other players will step up. This is their opportunity this week. James Houston, you know, maybe he kind of is what he is at this point. But maybe
see,
I don't know.
Let me get this straight. You were saying Hassan Reddick. he was a cancer in locker rooms? Like people.
Well, he's
saying,
holding out currently. So
no, I know, but I didn't.
I would call him a complete cancer. He's not like an Antonio Brown or anything like that. But there are questions about him in the locker room.
Okay.
As opposed to like, you know, like a Van Ginkle that I mentioned with the Vikings or something like that. Someone that is respected in every locker room that he's ever been in, type of guy. So.
See, on a note though about like updates,
I think that's
on
what
these things.
The research on.
Oh like, man, people are savage out there dropping these. Ooh. Crosby traded to the Lions. Like, it looks like it's a real damn.
Did you fall
thing
for it
on Twitter?
Did you fall for it?
I about choked today. I was sitting there, and it popped up, and the dude who posted it, like, even has like ESPN writer and stuff, and like, and it says posted by whatever, and I'm just like, oh my god, I about was like,
I would put the percentage of that having 0.0001%. Unfortunately, as much as we would all love it to happen.
They made it look real. That was so mean.
You're so gullible. Red
you're Dog. The target audience, Red Dog, on this type of tweet. So.
Oh, like you're not. Okay.
I saw it too, but I obviously.
I mean,
when I see something like that, I'm like, I got to really look at this.
I did the search after and all that too. I figured out it wasn't real, but it was like done with the right trappings where it was like they didn't really hold back at all in any of the presentation of it.
So this game, the Lions are 1.5 point underdogs traveling into Minnesota this week. Now the public is heavily on them and everything like that, but regardless, this is just a fantastic matchup. The Lions offense against the Minnesota defense. I mentioned briefly what I think Minnesota is going to do. They're going to line up seven guys at the line. They're going to throw all these. They're going to try to just disguise coverages left and right throughout this game. And I just got to match them. I mean, the tape is going to be hard to go off of for the Lions. The Vikings loved. They're very inconsistent. They're consistently inconsistent in the way they attack a lot of these opponents, the way to disguise these coverages and everything like that. Now, it's a lot of lining up guys, seven guys at the line, and then two rush or three rush, a lot of dropping back over the middle. So I think Gibbs over the middle on like that seam route like we saw last week against the Cowboys could be really effective. Because he can beat those guys coming, like those linebackers or the safeties even that line up at the line of scrimmage. He's so fast, he can beat them over the top and expose some of those weaknesses and things that they do of that nature. That's just some things that come out of my head as the way I would think of the Lions attacking this. Of course, the run game, if it's sound, that's going to back up those guys off the line too. and, I mean, there's no reason to believe the Lions won't.
I'd be worried, but like Penny Sewell said, "Ah, Kung Fu is stronger." hey,
he
you know,
say
like,
that?
You didn't hear him? Oh, maybe you just told me. You know, it was a private thing.
unrelated. Did you see the? Did you see Sewell that block I sent you guys in the Dallas game?
Yes.
It was that second one that Goff threw the JMO after JMO had the drop.
Yeah,
and Sewell blocks that wide nine. And then he comes over and blocks the blitzing linebacker all in one play. He blocks two guys. Just the agility at that size is just insanity.
You see? This is why I'm unconcerned by it. You know, we got Penei Sewell, baby.
And
throw
we got him with
got.
The seventh pick in the draft. Imagine that. How many guys would go back in that
steal,
draft
baby.
And maybe pick Sewell ahead of whoever they took in that draft?
Probably a few, I imagine.
Sewell's a stud, man.
And then can I just mention another guy that I think we don't talk about enough that had a hell of a game in this one too? It's Kevin Zeitler. I don't know if you watched any of his film in that last game, but he is I wouldn't say he's like annihilating people, but he is just routinely staying in front of his guy. On any pull he cuts off the contain. He is doing a hell of a job and. Did you never notice him throughout the game? For good reason.
Yes.
He's just doing his job. He's exactly what the Lions. This is exactly what the Lions hoped for when they signed him. Like he is
seriously.
He looks great. I mean, it's just a great culture fit. Everything of that nature. Anyways, if there's anything else you guys noticed from the last game, film wise, but Monty pass blocking was another one that popped up. I mean, just really every week could go on and on about that game.
Oh, I noticed something, Z. My strategy was correct when you asked about our Lions strategy in the last game. Domination.
Yeah, I mean, that was a complete drubbing. It kind of reminded me of the Bears in 85 when they played Dallas. I mean, Dallas by the second quarter was a beaten team. And they wanted to go home more than anything. And we just beat the shit out of them. So, yeah, it was just a fun game.
Wunderbar.
All right, so how about the Lions' defense against this Minnesota offense? Jason mentioned that Jordan Addison, the second wide receiver. Obviously, you have Justin Jefferson. This is a guy that will just routinely double coverage. Doesn't matter. They're going to jack it up to him, especially down the sideline. Would you guys agree that Carlton Davis is probably going to be shadowing him at least to start this game and see how it goes?
Yes. I don't know.
But you know who I'd like to see? I'd like to see him put Arnold on him.
Well, that would be fun.
At least a little bit. You give him a taste of the guy.
I like to see it. I think Arnold's starting to get a little confident these days.
Well, Justin Jefferson is drawing the most pass interferences in the league as well, so that'll be a real.
He'll probably get a couple in this game too. I'm sure.
But see, I think this is, to me, like you say, it's the offense versus the defense. I guess those are like the technically the highest ranked units or whatever. But like, I really think the recipe to this Vikings team right now is, it seems obvious to me, is their quick strike offense. That defense is playing so good because who wouldn't if you're protecting leads constantly? Like, they're just not letting teams get in games at all early on, and it's because you got this loaded receiver core, and you know they finally got a guy who can just deliver the ball to him, and you know you got Jefferson and Anderson and Mr. Anderson. Oh, what was his
name? Jordan Addison.
Thank you, Jordan Addison. Like. Oh, no Hawk, but still, like, those dudes together, it's like us with JMO and St. Brown. Like, how do you stop that? And they're using it to strike deep and hard, fast. Ooh, no Diddy. But, yeah, that's, to me, the main thing. If we can stop them from lightning strikes, I think we can handle – our offense will get the job done.
And I actually think Jordan Addison's a little overrated as a wide receiver. I think he's just he's the product of having Justin Jefferson out there and getting double coverage constantly. Just like his separation scores and things of that nature are pretty low compared to some of the more better number two wide receivers throughout the league. I don't see him as much as the X factor as maybe Jason did. But I wasn't going to tell him that, you know.
I don't know about him as the X factor, but that matchup to me, they're receivers, because that's where they're making their bread, in my opinion. Like, if you're scoring so fast in games and jumping out on top of teams, it's really hard to get anything going, especially if they have a pretty good defense. I just think we're going to show that defense has been coasting on some greased wheels here. And if we're going to hold down that quick strike offense, and our offense will do what they want.
Now, they do have a decent offensive line. Their best players are left tackle Christian Darrisaw. He's an all-pro left tackle. They signed to a big contract recently. Now, I think the exposure, now this would have been great for Hutch. Like, the right tackle, I would say, is pretty weak. Sam Darnold's been sacked 14 times this year, so he's definitely... Now, I don't know I haven't watched enough film to know, is that off on the offensive line? Sam Darnold's been known to hold the ball a long time, so I imagine that has something to do with it as well. Sam Darnold also, 4 interceptions this year. He's thrown one in every game except against Houston, where they're up 34-7. So he is definitely still very prone to the turnover. And if these Lions safeties have anything to say about it, they will be getting their hand on a ball or two in this game at some point.
Or maybe tree.
Yeah.
Maybe tree. Did you guys have anything else you wanted to say about the matchup before we get into our predictions?
I could say this in my predictions, or I can say it now, but I think our edge in this whole game is our run game, period. I think we're still, despite missing Hutch, I think our run defense is still going to be just awesome.
Yeah, that I agree.
Vikings will not be able to run on us, making them, again, one-dimensional. And even though they have a great passing attack and it's a great dimension, it's still hard to be one-dimensional in this team, especially with a team as good as the Lions. So, you know, eventually that's going to catch up to him in this game. So, and I think that's going to be the key. Well, and it really comes down to our O-line, the way they block. So,
we'll be in any game with
boys. Them. Let's ride these boys to the Super Bowl. This O-line is just fantastic. And I really hate that we can't say Roar of the Week is the O-line, because what are you going to say? One offensive lineman is my roar, you know, like, but they're, they're such a unit, though. Watching these guys play, it's like watching the
file your complaint with HR.
Yeah, I know, but you know, it's like watching the one of those girls that dance with the legs. You know, they're so synchronized. I mean, when they move on a play, it's so fun to watch. Their synchronicity that they all move at the same time. And
are there girls
like
that don't
choreograph so perfectly? The Rockettes, okay, that's who they are. They just move so perfectly in coordination with each other. It's so much fun to watch. But so anyway, that's all I have to say about that. Let's get to the predictions, goddammit.
All right, let's get into our ever-famous predictions. Ooh, yeah. So, of course, there's two sets of predictions. Our first one is our roar of the week. That, of course, is the player that we think will have the biggest impact overall on this game. And then our second prediction is our actual prediction for the game, what we think the score will be and what will happen throughout the game. Yeah. All right, so let's get into our roar of the week, and we will start with UJ.
All right. Again, as with every other week, this is a really hard choice. There's so many options here. But I'm going to go with Monty this week. I think Monty, our run game is the difference. And, you know, along with our O-line and everything, I think Monty is just going to be the guy, the difference maker in this game. I predict over 100 yards and two tutties again for Monty. He is my roar of the week.
All right, let's go. How about Red Dog?
Very nice, very nice. I'm with you, UJ. We need to expand the segment to offensive and defensive roars of the week, in my opinion, but we can table that for later. In this case, I only get to pick one, so
that is correct.
Pretty hard. I'm going to go with the man who I think is kind of got dumped on by a lot of people, who is kind of like just been written off all season in a way, because like even before Hutch went down, people were clamoring, we have to sign somebody. We have to sign somebody. Well, I think Josh Pascal has been a big reason we don't have to sign somebody. And I think he's going to further step up into a role as our most talented end this year or right now left on the roster and really shine in the a more prominent role. And Josh Pascal, I'm predicting a big game. I think he's going to be an absolute force in the run. I think he's going to break loose for two sacks on Sam Darnold.
Two sacks.
Our boy's ready to pop, okay? Watch out for Pascal. That boy's explosive, okay? Josh Pascal is my roar of the week.
Beautiful. Beautiful. All right. Yeah. So, Bob, unfortunately, not able to make it tonight, but I do have his roar of the week. That is J-Mo. He has his word of the week. This is a big matchup, and he will want to outduel Justin Jefferson. 120 plus yards and two touchdowns from J-Mo.
Wow. Oh, baby.
And I think I mentioned earlier, I think they could definitely expose him in this game. So my roar of the week is somebody I mentioned a couple weeks ago. I'm going to throw him out there again. Well, actually, I don't know if I brought him up now. Anyways, it's going to be Brian Branch. I think he's going to show out this game again. He's going to make, I think he's going to have a sack in this game, actually. I think Lions need to get really creative with their pass rush. But in addition to that, at least a couple of pass deflections. Maybe he gets another pick. But I mean, I just think he's going to be all over this field. I think he's going to, I mean, just with his instincts against Sam Darnold, I will take Brian Branch in that matchup on the back end. I was really thinking another player that will be shadowing Justin Jefferson, named Carlton Davis, but I went with Brian Branch because I just think if you shut down Jefferson, we control this game completely. But yes. I think Brian Branch is just going to have a little bit more impact just within the run game, blitzing off the edge, things of that nature. I think everyone's going to get really creative using Brian Branch in this game. So those are our roars of the week. And now let's get into our
Before you jump on, just before you jump on, because I just want to admit, I think the storyline of the week though is what Aaron Glenn does with that defense. To your point there, just I think that's going to be one of the most more interesting things of this entire weekend is how this defense looks without Aiden Hutchinson.
So that's Rud Dog with our storyline of the week. Roar.
Yeah.
Storyline of the week.
All right. So, okay. But I like it. Yes. Agreed. But nonetheless, let's get to our ever famous predictions.
Ooh, yeah.
I will start with Bob's, who predicts a Lions 35-21 victory as the offense continues to roll and defense rallies around Hutch. And Hutch put on Instagram that he's going to rise from the ashes once again or something along those lines. It was written in Latin, but it had the connotation of you'll rise from the ashes and return. Like, so cool.
So our defense is going to be hanging out at the hospital on Sunday. I don't know if I like that strategy. We probably need them at the field. They're rallying around Hutch.
Yeah. Anyways, Run Dog, what is your prediction?
Oh, baby. I think I'm so excited for this game. This is one I think that's like, this is where like the season really begins in a way, honestly. Like these first few games, this early stage of the season is more about just kind of like not falling on your ass and just kind of getting your shit together. This is like, these guys have, you know, obviously been playing super hot. They're undefeated. It's time to end that streak. And I think this Lions team is perfectly up to the task of doing so. I think they're going to find that their Lightning offense is more like a pudding offense this week, because Carlton Davis and Tarion Arnold are going to make it very hard for those top-notch receivers to get much of anything done. It'll be a whole team effort. They'll rally around Hutch, and this defense is going to addition by subtraction. Not, I know that's a love term around here, but I think they're going to rally. We're going to have a whole new look. People are going to step up. There's like it's such an exciting thing in my mind, in part just because I think we have some like tantalizing talent on this roster. I'm really excited to see what Nowaski does as development. Really excited to see what Ukwu does developing, but I think they're going to step up, and this defense is going to put on an impressive performance. They're going to hold the Lightning offense to 3 points, just a measly 3. And guess what? Their great defense is suddenly going to look like Swiss cheese as Gibbs and Monty both get some tutties, and J-Mo gets a tutty, and Amon-Ra gets a tutty, and Laporta gets a tutty. We're going to roll on through a resounding victory of 47-3 this week. Detroit Lions in convincing fashion dominate their division foes, who everyone thought was so good, but they will come crashing to earth, and the Lions will stand at the top of the division end of week 6.
Wow.
I do love you that you mentioned Nowaski. It's a really cool story. Came from Saginaw Valley State. Really good measurables. That's why the Lions signed him as an undrafted free agent. Then he cut from the team, but then re-signed. And he's, I think, with the injury to Barnes, I think they're looking with him to step up. So if he can stick around, that's a really cool story. Adds another layer to the depth on this team as well, on the defensive side. Looking forward to seeing him, if maybe he can get a pass rushing role or two in this game as well.
That's speed, baby.
Definitely. All right, so UJ, what do you have as your prediction?
All right, another side story here too, since we're telling heartwarming side stories. I guess Hutch visits hospitals a lot, and he puts the kid's name on his water bottle at the Lions, you know. And apparently all these kids in the hospital who Hutch's visit, they're all putting his name on their water bottle. Stuff. It's kind of cool.
Really cool. So,
yeah, very cool thing. So,
yeah, we teared up.
You know, Hutch, quick recovery, buddy. Okay, now, yes, my prediction. I'm going with a score of 27-17. It's not going to be the 42-point, you know, things we're getting used to right here, because I think the Vikings are going to be a tough opponent this week, and especially at home after a bye. But I think we're going to wear them down with our O-line mainly. And their lack of a run game is going to be to their detriment, too. And it's going to lead to a couple interceptions on our defense. Probably Branch with one. And I'm going to say Branch and Kirby. What the heck? Nice. With each of an interception in this game. And our defense is going to step up. And despite Hutch not being there, I think they're going to find a way to put some really good pressure on Darnold. I really do. Especially we got those guys up the middle, and with Aleem now, Aleem is just a force up that middle right now.
He is.
And you know, obviously we're not going to have Hutch there, but I think some guys are going to step up and play pretty well. So I see our defense still being quite effective in this game. And their lack of a run game is going to be to their detriment. So, again, our run game and our O-line is going to dominate this game. I think Goff will still have a steady game like he's been. He's been just – Goff, you know, we don't talk enough about that guy, how well he's been playing. He's just – man, is he playing good right now. He's just – he's so in control. Just incredible to watch. So, yeah, 27-17, Monty with two scores, and our run game – takes over. It's going to be a mixture of everything, like always, but the key is our run game. That is the key to me to this whole thing. And yeah, it's going to be another road victory. Put us 5-1 on our way to the Super Bowl. 27-17 is my prediction.
That nice.
All right. We like that a lot. We like it a lot. Producer Kid J, what is your prediction for this game?
I think the Lions are going to come out strong. I think they're going to get the victory in Minnesota 30-24.
A nail biter.
Good job, Kid J.
We like that prediction as well. I think, Jason, what do you say? 30-27 Lions?
I think so. I think yeah.
Hmm? UJ is our longest tenured Lions fan on the podcast tonight. What do you think the Lions record against the Vikings is all time?
All time. Oh boy. Yep.
Ugly. Ugly is the correct answer.
I'm guessing we're to the minus side, so I'm gonna say 79-61.
You were very optimistic in your guess, because it's the Vikings lead the series 80-43-2 all time.
That's worse than I thought.
Yeah, we're covering some ground here. We need this one.
But the Lions have won three in a row, 34-23, 30-24, and 30-20. So the Lions, you know, Brian Flores has been shutting down offenses left and right across the NFL since he joined Minnesota. But for some reason, the Lions can figure him out unlike any other. And I think they continue that this week. Before I get into my prediction, though, there is one thing we forgot to talk about at the top. I just want to mention really briefly. Ali McNeil, we didn't get into the, you know, about it. So 4 years, $97 million, 55 guaranteed. Wow. Do we like this contract?
Wow.
I don't care. I just love getting Ali. I love that we've re-signed him. Brad made the contract, so I love the contract, but I love the player, and I'm glad we got him locked up.
If you're curious who that falls in line with throughout the rest of the league, it's a right around the DeForest Buckner, Jeffrey Simmons range. Two really good D tackles as well in this league.
I just keep thinking, how can we keep paying all these giant contracts? I mean,
they're being shrewd.
Like, where do we, you know, eventually we're going to have to pay Hutch, we're going to have to pay...
But then we're going to be able to, because all the other guys are locked
Ryan
in.
Branch,
oh,
Kirby
Branch.
Joseph.
I mean, I know we got a couple years for those guys.
If he's doing us a favor by sitting out this season.
Oh, my God.
No, you're right, UJ. I mean, but I think at the same time, the Lions are trying to get ahead of it making these signings, maybe front-loading a little bit, because they do have some cap space. I don't get the deal. I didn't see how they are handling this one. But they do have some cap space this year, too.
Yeah,
infused
I've heard we
some of the
still,
signing bonus, et cetera.
I've heard we could still take on Crosby's contract right now, as is, with our cap space remaining. We have like 31, and he'd only be like 17. I mean, I'm just saying, like, that's with signing Aleem. This is Brad, and I mean, I know he's not the only, like, book wizard we got, but, like, they're doing a fantastic job of managing this cap. And, like, I like that we're not sitting here, like, crippled and can't make a move midseason because they've overshared.
Well,
and yet all our top guys are signed to mega contracts. Tell me how that works. It's brilliant.
Big shout-out to Mike Disner. He is the cap wizard
Disner.
Under the Lions.
That's what I was looking
for. And then, like, Z, like you said, they're attacking this early. Like with Amon-Ra, for instance, you know, they paid him. And then all of a sudden you see all these contracts coming in. Goff, like, you know. All of a sudden, their contracts are looking cheap compared to around the league, you know? So,
right.
I don't know. Mungo. It's just seems their timing is – they're really good with the Monty. Timing.
They're good with the timing. I think that's also a culture thing, too. If you perform well for this organization, they'll pay you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lean played his best, maybe his best game yet of his career, and then gets the contract.
Right, exactly. So I think it's really cool. Anyway, so that let me go with my prediction now. So Lions scored 30 points 3 times in a row against the Vikings here. I predict it to happen a 4th time in a row. I think the Lions win this one 31-23. With a late interception by Brian Branch to seal the deal as the Vikings get the ball back with like 37 seconds left. They have 80 yards to go. Brian Branch picks off Sam Darnold to end the game.
Dope.
So there you have it. We have yet all again predicted a Lions victory.
Hey, that's amazing. But see, I there was another story I heard about that they signed Monty because after that Seahawks game, like they were walking to their locker room and what's his Witherspoon came stumbling into the Lions locker room like, where am I? What's going on, you guys? And they're like, wow, he hit him so hard he forgot who he was. And they're like, we need to sign this guy. We need to lock him up. And that's how Monty was re-signed.
Oh, you're talking about from that one catch he had, the 40-yard catch.
When he put Witherspoon straight into the turf.
Right.
Ragdoll.
Yes. It's funny, though, in that same play, I just gained a lot of respect for Witherspoon. He got right up right. the face and down the field and almost caught up.
He was there at the end.
Anyway,
I mean, Devin Witherspoon turned into a good pro, like we thought he would be.
For sure.
Yeah, he's good. He's good.
Hey, what is it about these Illinois guys lately? I mean, Kirby, Illinois ranks now too.
So
seriously, I mean,
although their defense is not playing that good this year, they play Michigan this week. That'll be interesting. Anyways,
yeah,
I digress. Anyway. So this will be a fantastic game. I can't believe this is a noon game. Like, this is probably the best game of the season across the NFL, and it's not even like
that's wild.
The national game of the week, like last week against Cowboys, are like flexed to a Sunday night. I mean, it's fine.
To be fair,
it is interesting.
To be fair, the Vikings were not predicted early before the season to be playing as well as they are.
No one foresaw
Sam Darnold stabilizing.
Right,
that's a good point. You're right.
Regardless, it will be a noon kickoff in Minnesota. Lions 1.5 point underdogs, although the public is betting them heavily. So for take that however you may be, whatever you take it. But anyways, thank you.
They're betting on the Vikings heavily?
No, they're betting on the Lions heavily. Oh, it opened at 2.5. Now it is 1.5 and going down fast. So it will probably be like a pick 'em by the game starts. So anyways, we will wrap this up. But before we do, we want to thank our producer, Kid J. We're crushing it every single week. And it's fantastic prediction this week.
He's the best
around.
We want to thank our guest, Jason Hall, for entering the Lions Den and barely escaping with his life. We greatly appreciate him taking the time out. If you want to follow us on YouTube, go to @DTBK_Lions on YouTube. You find us on there, Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid. Subscribe to the channel. You'll be alerted when we post a video or go live or anything of that nature. Instagram @DrinkingTheBlueKool-Aid. Twitter/X @DrinkingLions. Follow us on there. Let us know your predictions for this game.
Yeah.
And also,
I have one more comment, though. Can I wait one more comment?
UJ comment.
Yeah, because you know, Halloween's coming up here pretty soon, and I think the Lions are gonna do the Vikings a favor because they won't have to worry about their costumes because they're all gonna look like Jason's victims after this game, and they can just, you know, go as Jason.
Nice. Yeah, I like it. You mean like dismembered limbs and bloody corpses? I like it. I agree.
Yeah. That's what it's gonna look like.
It's gonna look
Z.
It's gonna look like what the Vikings did to villages in the past, except for they're the victims.
That's right.
It's karma.
Karma.
All right. Did I leave anything out? No. Just Apple, Spotify, regular podcasts. Please download. Please subscribe. Please leave a review. Other than that, we'll be back on Tuesday, recapping and reacting to everything that happened on Sunday. Where we hope the Lions, or we definitely think the Lions will be in.
We definitely know the Lions will dominate.
Yes, I corrected myself.
We know.
Where we will be celebrating and reacting to the Lions taking over first place in the NFC North. A division that has every team has four victories or more. Pretty crazy.
This is great. We're going to dominate a dominant division. It's yes, so sir. Fun. That's great.
Yes, sir. That doesn't include like the Bears who beat four teams with one win. But anyways, let's wrap this up. So the Bears are 4-2. Everybody's like, oh, the Bears are so good. But they played like the four shittiest teams in the NFL. I always take the time to single out the Bears and bring down their fans another notch.
As you should.
I believe Jesus told us that's what we're supposed to do.
All right. So thank you, everybody, for listening. And last but not least, as always, go!
Team that will not yield, and when the blue and silver wave stand and cheer the brave, rock, 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 go hard, win the game. With honor, you will keep your fame down the field and gain a Lions victory.
Go.
The Humana Honor Medicare Advantage Plan gives you $1,860 back each year in your Social Security check. Choose coverage that helps you keep more money in your pocket. Learn more at GetHumana.com. Humana, a more human way to healthcare. The Part B Give Back benefit pays part or all of your Part B premium, and the amount may change based on the amount you pay for Part B. Limitations and restrictions may apply. Humana is a Medicare Advantage HMO and PPO organization with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in any Humana plan depends on contract renewal.
We've seen the impact we make when we stand together. So let's stand with candidates who represent us in Washington, D.C. Sherrod Brown always stands up for the well-being of our community, capping the price of insulin and cracking down on predatory landlords jacking up rents in black neighborhoods. Black power is in our votes. Let's use it today. Vote now to re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.